You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about John Stahl's Leave Her to Heaven.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Kellen.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. I'm, you know, little nervous about crazy women right now.
No, it's okay. Kristen's safe. Don't worry.
I hope so. We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about the 1945 film noir, Leave Her to Heaven. Although, look, I saw on Wikipedia, and I couldn't find anything else to disprove this, but according to Wikipedia, this is the first color film noir.
Ooh.
Now, guys,
it's like an oxymoron, isn't it? Like, can you have a color film noir?
But I think that's why I think people argue that it's not film noir.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. Where do you guys stand on this? Film noir, not film noir.
What makes it a film noir is because it's got murder in it, and it's kind of like leading the audience. That's just a fucking movie, right?
Well, <You know? laughs> isn't... Okay, I think, because I was reading a little bit about this, doesn't... To make it film noir, it has... Like, they have to, like, entice others to do, like, bad crime stuff with them, which she didn't
that doesn't
quite...
happen.
Do in this, which is again a reason why people think it's not a film noir.
I mean, people are complicit in her crime. Like, her family's just like, she's a crazy bitch, it's fine. You know, we will subtly warn you that she's insane, but, you know, we're still going to let it happen.
I mean, the warning signs are all there, come on.
Well, yeah, we're being real subtle. She always wins. What does that mean? Against children?
You don't want to
know.
Or,
like, in what?
Everything.
Someone tells you that, you just let it happen. You walk away.
She warned you too. She's like, I'm never gonna let you go. Like, okay, I love you too.
What did she say at one point? She just loves him so much. She loves too much is the problem.
That's what her mom
says.
Yeah.
Somebody, yeah, okay, the mom.
See, that's an outside perspective, you know? She's just like, no, you must stay just with me, only me. We should sit in a room and stare at each other and breathe each other's farts. Like, she just wants people just to be contained just to her.
You know, I don't know. I was about ready to kill the brother as well, you know? Like, there's that moment where they wake up
oh,
in the back
gosh.
Of the moon, and she's here, and he's, like, crawling into the guy's bed, and she's just like, oh, hey, wait. She's, like, kissing him, waking him up to kisses. And then that little brother is like the ultimate cock block, right? I mean,
yeah,
he's just
dude.
Like immediately knocking on the other side of the door, just like, hey, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Bro, I'm getting morning kisses. Leave me alone.
But I think that's kind of how it works, is because at first you're like, she doesn't seem crazy. You're like, oh, okay, it makes sense that she is a little, you know, she wants alone time. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, it does.
That's how it starts, right? Because people, you can't just walk up and be like, oh, this person's crazy. Like, it starts off really normal, and then the crazy ramps up, right?
Yeah, because it's totally plausible. You know, you're a couple, you're, you know, married and you want to have your alone time, but there's just people around all the time. So all of her things make sense.
Exactly.
And it's not until she lets the kid drown when you're just like, oh, I see what's happening here.
That was your first.
Well, I mean, like a lot of it's passable, you know, what's the big moment before that? Is there anything before that moment that you're just like, oh shit, she's a little out there.
Nah, she's kind of a bitch to her mom and her, her cousin when they come in and stay at Back of the Moon. You know, she's, who's the handyman that lives there that sings the goofy songs, Thorn or something like that?
Yeah, Thorn.
Well, I think,
she's a servant.
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of the first time that I was like, oh, something might be a little off about her is when she's like, I don't want any help. I want to do all of the cleaning. I want to do all of the cooking. Yeah. I want to do all of this for you. And it's like, forever? Like, what are
Kristen,
we talking
about? That's your female point of view, because as a man, it's like instant boner. You're like, what?
No, because like, I really want you to
sealed his deal.
So like, think about shit. That. No, because like really think about that, because if she is doing all of that, she should look. I understand maybe that's watching your woman perform hard labor.
No, it's not about watching it. It's that she wants to do it for you, Kristen, that she wants to provide. She wants to be like
wants
nurturing.
To take care of you. That's right.
Yes, she Damn. Wants to be your mother. That's what men are looking for, Kristen. Another mother.
But she's hot. She's like a hot mom, wow. You know?
Yeah, she's like a really hot mom.
Okay, I feel like... So this is why I think there's a lot of therapy now. And
she married me. This movie would be super short. It'd be like movie over where they lived happily ever after.
It's fine. We'll just go live alone in a cabin somewhere. It's fine.
No, but I think they made a follow-up movie to that called Misery. So I don't know, you guys.
You've been a dirty bird.
All right.
I feel like it's one thing to have fantasies and another to actually live it out. Is all I'm saying.
The moral of those stories, don't be a writer. Being a writer sucks.
Whoa. Holy shit.
They had a different profession. It would have been totally fine. Look, Jean Tierney is trying to like take care of. She's even like, I have enough money. I will set you up for life.
I was gonna say,
bro,
I thought that was another red
right
flag. That was another red flag.
No, Kristen,
like, I know this brings you joy, but maybe you should stop and be completely dependent on me. Another red flag.
Especially, it would be different if like he was. You know, digging ditches or like building bridges and shit. And she's like, look, you don't have to do that anymore. We like, I make enough to support us, but this is actually something that this is his life. This is his life.
Okay.
He puts his life into this like writing. And
I actually think that's a really good point. And so a green flag, and potentially green, it could also still be red, but a green flag would be, hey, I have enough money. You can do whatever you want to do from now on. Okay. That's not what she's saying. That's not what's happening.
That's what she meant. We can read between the lines.
It is not. Okay. Okay. Okay, we'll see how well that went, didn't we?
Look, I'm going to make a different pancake every day, you know? We're going to go through Julia Child's, like, cookbook. We're going to do every recipe, you know, this is what
we're
doing.
Okay, and so that would also be something different if the woman was like, oh my God, I really want to, like, go through this cookbook. Wouldn't that be a fun activity? That is not what is happening. You guys can see the difference. I mean, you can't. You're going to end up with
Obviously,
the crazy
Obviously, I'm glazed over, yeah.
But
crazy lady is really pretty, okay? I mean, did you see her eyes? And Technicolor, oh my God, they pop.
Yeah,
they're like blue, they're green.
Yeah.
Who knows what they are?
But I was thinking that Ruth was prettier the whole time anyways, though. I know that's sacrilege and you're supposed to think that Ellen is
No,
gorgeous.
I can explain this. I think I am curious what she is. So obviously she's the Ruth is prettier because she's more wholesome, and you can obviously tell that our main actress here is the crazy lady because she's just too pretty. She's too pretty. That means she's evil. Obviously,
she goes off into these fits where she like stares and she just gets blank.
But she does at the beginning too.
So
like
good.
I don't know how you guys like miss and she's like, oh sorry, you just look just like my dad. I feel like that's also a red flag.
That's a big boner killer too. You're like, oh wait, what?
She's like, oh, but when he was younger, which actually makes it worse, I think. I don't know.
She didn't know her dad when he was young, you know? I mean, come on.
But then,
only through
then
photos.
She gets to, they get to the house and they're like, oh yeah, she was obsessed with her dad. I feel like there's a lot of, hold on, wait, are we really going to stick to the, there were no red flags before this?
I don't think you find out that she had something to do with his death until later, after we've already figured out that she's past shit.
I don't know if she did have anything to do with the death. It's only vaguely implied. Well, she doesn't kill her husband. She kills herself before she'll kill him. Like, I don't know. She does love too much. I think she would destroy a person's entire environment around them, but never the person.
She drove him to kill himself.
Wait, did her father? They never said her father committed suicide, though. I don't know. It's left so perfectly vague. I like it. I like not knowing for 100% for sure whether she killed dad or not.
But do you think it's weird that when you spread someone's ashes that you, like, throw them all over yourself?
Yeah, I thought that was super weird, too.
I would be so fucking weirded out by that.
Whatever, man. I bet she was bathing in him later that day.
She's like, oh, I just want him all over my body.
Okay, so two things on that. Because one, I know they wanted it to be like a mythological reference, but I just thought it looked, hold on. I kept it. The goddess Hippolyta, I don't know, the magical girdle bestowed upon her by her father, Ares, god of war. That's the reference to that. But I feel like there is a better way to do that, because it just looked like, she was dumping ashes on herself. But then the second thing was, I was also reading a book this week. It's a memoir, and her grandfather died, and they had the ashes, and she, like, ate them?
No. We don't do that.
Okay, but do we? Because in Zone of Interest, they kind of do.
Oh, that's inhale. You know, you're breathing in dead people. Yeah. It's a lot different from eating, you know?
And those people had gas.
I feel like either way, you're getting a dead person's ashes inside of you. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know, man.
Is it safe to consume ashes in either form?
There's a Willie Nelson song that says, "Roll me up and smoke me when I die."
Yeah, like, is this a thing that people do that I've just never been privy to?
No, I don't think she was trying to really eat them.
Saying she was trying to eat them, but, you know.
I think she was just trying to put on, like, I think the filmmakers were trying to let us know that she's putting on this big show about scattering these ashes.
Yeah, she's so theatrical about almost everything that she does.
Yeah, because even when she goes, like, she leaves the ceremony, right, and throws the ash receptacle, the urn, right? She throws it off, and then her mom and her cousin, they follow her. But then she turns back around and goes by this one tree and puts her head down while horseback riding. And it's like, oh, girl, come on. We know that you see him looking at you. We know it. This is the fucking show. And when you go back and watch it the second time, it just feels like she's just like, I don't know. It's like her perfect spider web. Like, she's just putting down these things to trap this guy.
Brian, all I saw in that scene was a woman's heartbreak in glorious technicolor.
So she's trapped Jared already, is where we're going with this.
Look at this beautiful landscape.
The film does look great.
Okay, let's talk about that. Kristen, how did you watch this?
I think I watched the link you sent. Is that what you're
asking? Okay, so yeah, so that's the best link. The only way to really watch this thing is either on Plex, which is really strange, and that version is, like, stretched.
Yeah.
And aspect ratio is all fucking weird. And which is kind of, like, fitting for Plex, because Plex is how we used to share, like, you know, pirated movies. Like, I would host a bunch of movies on my computer and then sell, and then, like, not sell, excuse me, and then, like, give out my, my Plex server account, and then you could watch the things that are on my computer. And they always look like shit because they're cams or they're rips of fucking DVDs or whatever. So it's very fitting that the Plex version looks like shit, because you're not supposed to use Plex. But the only version that's out there that looks decent for free is on YouTube. And it still didn't look great. And I would love to see an actual restoration of this, or something that actually, where you can see the colors of the Technicolor, because Technicolor has this weird, like, pastel kind of feel to it.
It did have, the color did seem a little off. And also, I don't know. And I really noticed, especially in the train scene at the beginning.
Oh yeah.
They just seemed so airbrushed. It looked like, yeah,
it feels like a set too. I mean, like, everything
modern, yeah, where they, like, had computers generate their faces.
Yeah, you're actually, you know what? You're right. It did have that feel.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a little bit of the light, you know, coming on, hitting them, and they have so much fucking makeup on, you know?
Yeah, the makeup and the close-ups is like, it's so thick on her face. It was like, wow, why is she wearing so much makeup? Is it because I have to blast them with so much light?
I think it's a combination of the makeup we have now is just so much better than what we used to have, because foundation did used to be extremely heavy. I mean, even up until the 90s. But also, yeah, I think it was like the lights. It's like stage makeup.
Which is interesting because I noticed, and this person's name is burned into my brain from film school. The person who did the makeup on this was Ben Nye. And when you go through makeup class in film school, you buy the Ben Nye makeup kit.
Is it the same person?
Yes.
Because also his stuff is very heavy.
Yeah, no.
It works really well, and I recommend the kit.
Theatrical stuff. But yeah, it's Ben Nye. It's the same. It's where that comes from. That's his company.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
This is not the science guy, though, right?
No, that's Bill Nye. This is Ben Nye.
Oh, okay. So it's not the science guy's brother, then.
It could be. I mean, Ben Nye's probably been dead before Bill Nye was probably. Well, they probably crossed a little bit.
So it's his grandfather. Okay, we got the family connection. That's all.
Classic Hollywood. And that's a little different than Bill Nye. But,
God damn it.
The British version.
But, I really love the three strip Technicolor in this. I think it looks great. Go ahead.
We talked about that, Brian, so Kristen. Think of the stair scene where she causes herself to trip.
Oh yeah,
the color of that nightie. What do you think about that? Is that real or is that the film making it look like that?
It was baby blue, right? What do you mean?
No, it's not. It's like I think it was baby blue like originally, but like her dress and the wallpaper when she throws herself down the stairs is. It is like, I don't know. There's moments where, like, in the same shot, it almost looks kind of like it's got a green tint to it.
Yeah.
I feel like they were picking blues and greens to, like, match her, Jean Tierney's eyes.
Hmm.
Because, you know, that first scene you see her in, like, there is green everywhere, and she's wearing, like, this tan and brown.
Yeah.
And the guy's wearing, like, some brown tan suit.
Yeah,
eyes and her lipstick, they just pop.
Yeah, it's weird. They overdo the lipstick. It feels like they overdo all the makeup. Like even when she's swimming and she comes up out of the water and she's got this like super thick red lipstick on. I was like, who does that?
I loved it. That was great.
You were like, holy shit, sexy lipstick in the water with that weird like head.
I gotta get some of that makeup, man. Actually, no, my lipstick that I have now doesn't really come off, like, if it gets wet or whatever.
Really?
No.
Yeah. No, actually, I mean, no, there's a lot of makeup that doesn't come off. They started really making waterproof makeup available for over-the-counter purchases, I think in the 90s, actually, but it might have been the aughts.
Hmm.
And even if you don't, then they make, like, sprays and stuff that will help keep it on, yeah. Most people don't go swimming with makeup, but you can.
Yeah, especially that thick.
Photography is nice, though. I mean, Technicolor aside, like, going back to this, is this a film noir or not? There are moments, man, inside these sets where, like, you get the shadows. And they're even, like, there's this good moment. It's the scene where, like, the husband's just, he's just, like, finally fucking snapped, and he, like, confronts Jean Tierney's character and just backs her up all the way to, like, it's a fireplace, you know? But, like, when he's backing her up to that fireplace, she is, like, in his shadow. Like, his shadow is, like, on her face. And, like, as they get closer and closer to the fireplace, it disappears. It's just gone. Oh, it was so nice. Thought it was so sexy. So much better than Double Indemnity last week.
Yeah, I agree. I actually like this a lot. And the question of film noir, I guess, didn't really come up for me, even though it's in color, because there were so many of the same elements. It was just, yeah, it was just in color. It actually really reminded me of Hitchcock a lot.
Mm.
Not just because they're in a bay also.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, what was that? Like, what do they call that? Was it Bar Harbor?
I don't remember, but I did look it up to see if it was the same harbor, and it was not.
Man, all these places got great names. Back of the Moon, Bar Harbor. I forget what the first ranch was called in New Mexico, but that thing was awesome. All these people live in giant mansions.
I was like, how are they affording this?
was going to say it's rich people names for their, that's what they call their stuff.
I want to live in a place that that we name or has a name, you know?
You can. You don't have to be rich to name it. You can.
Oh,
just
really? I
it.
Could just name my house?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. I know people that definitely are not rich who have definitely named their houses, and it has like the little sign when you go up to their house.
Back of the Moon. That Back of the Moon place was cool. I love the log cabin kind of feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had like their
lots of texture.
Their bedroom windows were like facing the lake, and you got like that sunrise too. It's like, oh, get out of here! It's amazing.
Yeah, twin beds with the lamp in the between. You know,
and
still this era.
They ain't gonna stop her though. All right.
Well, I don't think that it's not that you're not allowed to have sex with your wife. It's just that, right? You need just I don't know.
What, you need your own space.
Show that you sleep together.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they value their sleep is what it is.
People actually like, you know, some people even had separate bedrooms back in the day.
Some people still have separate bedrooms.
I know, that kind of blows my mind.
She snores, Brian. I can't just deal with that shit, man. I got to get my beauty sleep.
She snores.
We're looking at getting a CPAP machine or whatever, so that should work it out, right? So I've been wanting to have sex with Darth Vader for years.
Oh my god!
I am dreaming now.
Turn that shit off so I can sleep.
No. Also, too, for you know, I think last week we were watching Double Indemnity, and that was 1944. Man, just 1 year later. This movie felt like they were pushing buttons a lot more, just like what they were willing to do, what their characters were doing on screen. All of it just felt like, I don't know, they were just pushing buttons more. Like, what the fuck happened with Double Indemnity? I'm sorry. I'm still not over what a mediocre watch that was for such a classic. I'm going to get over it.
I was actually surprised this one isn't a classic. I haven't heard of this before you suggested it, and I thought this was one of the better movies that we've watched.
Yeah, it's a hard one to find. It was forever out of print. You know, I found out about it only like 10 or 12 years ago. I was watching I was watching it was like a biography of Gene Tierney on the Laura disc, on the DVD for that movie. And they mentioned this film was like the only one that she got an Oscar nomination for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to check this out. And, you know, it was just one of those films that like it got put out on DVD and went out of print almost immediately.
Wow.
And like the only way you could watch it was a really shitty YouTube copy forever. And then Criterion put out a restored version on Blu-ray. They haven't put out a 4K yet. Hopefully they do. But even then, like, the Criterion's got, like, no extra... I think it's got one special feature from, like, some UCLA professor talking about John Stahl's career. But at least it's got, you know, it's been put out. Because there, I mean, availability was, like, I guess this movie's, like, you know, big issue.
Which is weird because it actually was kind of a hit at the time. You know, it and then it's been, you know, ripped off in modern culture as well. Well, you know, there's always been crazy girl movies, but I really, 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 really thought about Gone Girl the whole time watching this.
Oh, I thought it was a little different because I feel like Gone Girl is a more sympathetic. The female lead is more sympathetic than in this, whereas in this, she's just completely crazy.
Well, you feel the like, you know, this is all the way, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you feel the inspiration of, I think.
Okay, I can see.
You know, like a lot of times, we mine older films for ideas and stuff. And it's just when I see these older films, sometimes we're like, oh, this feels cliche or whatever. But you kind of have to think about the time that it came out. And I was like, wow, this is it's kind of innovative at the time. I mean, of course, I haven't seen a lot of movies from this era, so I'm not sure if this is a long. Is this in a long list of films that are remade of the same thing? It's just kind of get better and better. You know.
Yeah, this did feel like, especially considering I'd never heard of it before, it felt like this is what a lot of movies took inspiration from. This is, I feel like, I don't know, Brian, you can correct me, but is this like one of the first, like, where the woman is just like completely crazy and there's no redeeming? She has no motive even other than just wanting to be in control.
You know, I mean, I guess the femme fatales before, and then like evil women on screen, they, I guess they did always want something. You like money, power. There's something else. They don't just want like the man. Like, I just want this relationship, and I'm obsessed with this person. I can't think of one before this, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I just can't think of one.
It does. I actually, the whole time I was watching this, I was actually really surprised that it was the woman acting like this, because I feel like it's much more common, but maybe this is just from a flipped point of view, for the man to act like this. And that's why I actually thought the stair scene was so interesting, because if you are in a relationship with a man who's super controlling, statistically, when you get pregnant, the abuse becomes so much worse. And I've never really looked into it, and I didn't really know why. Maybe it is jealousy of the baby. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, I thought it was interesting that the abuse escalated, but on herself. This. I was I wonder if that's related.
And I thought that it may be that was weird, because you would think it's more like, you know, the baby is going to get more attention than me.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, but in this situation, it was more like, oh, I'm being shut away because I'm a woman and I'm pregnant and I'm not allowed to take the stairs and I'm not allowed to do anything. Well, they won't let me do anything. I'm locked away and everything's happening, and then I'm losing my husband because he's getting more attention to my fucking cousin and all this shit. It's more like, you know, this is a reason why I'm shoved away at the moment. It's not that like it's the baby was the problem, instead of like, you know, the baby is getting more attention.
Oh, the doctor.
That was fucking strange and weird.
That doctor even calls out, like, what does she say? Like, after that, she's like, I can't see my husband. Well, have your husband come in here. Well, then he'll see me look like this.
He's like, I'm not seeing what the problem
is. He's like,
here.
That doesn't make sense. Good day.
But that kind of played into the idea of, I don't know how prevalent this was, but like the idea that like your husband can't see you without makeup on. And you have to wake up before him and do your hair and makeup and be presentable for him at all times.
Those were the days.
And she did get out of bed with her lipstick already applied.
It's insane, bro. She's got the best lipstick possible, constantly.
It was very nice. I liked it.
And her hair was already great. God, her hair was great. Oh, waking up with, like, hair styled.
Oh. Okay, so, but again, like, yeah, the idea is that you wake up early, do your hair and makeup, and then you go back to bed and pretend to wake up looking like that is what they used to counsel women to do.
It's good. Wake up, brush your teeth.
I don't know how many women actually did that, but that's like in like magazines and stuff.
Oh my gosh, look at her hair. It's all messy. Divorce.
Oh. She's not even making an effort.
Well, how can she when she has to cook and clean for you constantly?
She wanted to do that.
Okay.
Look, we can hire a maid. It'll be fine. No, God.
But I did think it was a little sus. Like, I feel like I might have some feelings, too, if my husband dedicated his novel to another woman.
And caught her a hoe. I'm just kidding. The gal.
I have some questions too. Hold on. I'm shut away carrying your child, and you got close enough to another woman to dedicate your book to her.
What did you help do for the book? The book is about, you know, you didn't help me do this book.
They looked up some stuff about Mexico or something. I don't know. They went to the library and did some research. Who knows?
Yeah, again, if my husband was planning vacations with another woman, I think I would have
Well, we don't know if they were going together.
No, they weren't
going
together.
No, we don't, but they were planning things enough for him to write a book about it. Enough for her to follow up afterwards. Yeah, we don't know that they went together. Honestly, though, because she is crazy, like, they should have gone together. I was rooting for them, but, like, you know what I'm saying. Like, I do feel for the main character a little bit. But just in that instance, not anywhere else.
I don't know. There's moments where I do like her. Like, I like she asserts herself, and it's not in a bitchy way. It is a very pleasing way. Like, when she cuts her mom off, and, like, it's not bitchy. It is, like, she is empowering. And you, especially in the beginning of the movie, it is like, oh, yeah, this is kind of fucking badass. This chick is taking charge. I like this. Like, even how she asks him, like, hey, you want to marry me? You know, it is kind of like, oh, damn, this the girl knows what she wants.
Oh, yeah, there's another red flag for you, Jared. Take a list. no, I actually agree with you. When there is that whole scene, it's so bizarre, but she handles herself so well that you're like, okay, I'm not mad at you yet, but this is weird, but it's okay, but maybe it's okay. But even at the end, oh my God, when you have the trial and you realize that she framed Ruth, I was like, holy shit, that's so smart. Like, that's so brilliant. I wouldn't have thought of that. I would, like, blame the husband, obviously. No, she blames.
You thought it was going to go that way, too, for like a second. You thought it was going to go toward the husband, but then it switches and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah,
she's taking
great.
Ruth out.
Yeah. Loved it.
Well, the movie even starts with the bookends with the lawyer telling the story, and the husband is getting out of jail. So
yeah, but you forget about that, though.
I did forget the whole time.
No,
I was
really?
Like, wait,
oh, okay.
I was 100%. Like, wait, what just happened? Like, yeah, I thought about rewinding it, but then I was like, I'll just like watch this blind and see what happens.
When it cuts and he's in the rowboat or whatever at the end, I'm like, holy shit, that's right. You know, like it. I remembered the beginning.
Oh actually. Yeah, no, I was sitting there the entire time waiting, like, oh. You know, like, once they get to Back of the Moon, you're like, oh, he's going to kill her. He's going to fucking murder her.
See, if you were thinking that the whole time, I think that probably makes those scenes better. But I had forgotten that actual little bit at the beginning. Because, yet again, I'm looking at the landscape and those, like, oh, look at this. This looks crazy in this film. This, you know, I'm not paying attention to what's being said.
Oh, there are so many good lines in the middle. Oh, the script is really, really well done. I love it when she's... What's that?
No, go ahead.
I love it when she's breaking up with Vincent Price, and he just ends it when he's like, "I want you to know I love you, I always will," and she's like, "Is that a threat?" It's like, "Holy fuck! What the hell just happened? Oh my God, this is so weird." It's just this polite 40s society, and it's just a veil. You know, it's so well. It's like characters are not saying what they mean. You have to read between the lines, and there's just this tension that is always around with her. I love that. I think it adds so much to her.
Yeah, I thought it was completely great. All of that. The dialogue is outstanding, I think.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the pace of it, though? Did you feel like it was a little, like, slow burn first half before it really starts to, like, take off?
I do think it was a bit of a slow burn, but it's an hour and 50 minutes, and so I didn't feel that at all. I thought it moved
really
pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, New Mexico feels a little... It feels a little melodramatic, right? Like, in the beginning, it's just like, what's going on? But I think once they get to Back of the Moon, I think it really picks up from there on out. And I don't
know. Oh, so from there to the end, I'm 100% hooked into it. So much even at the end, I was just like... gobsmacked with what was going on.
But I think the slow beginning is necessary because you are meeting her and you need to trust her. And so you kind of need this time to get to know her and, I don't know, fall in love with her a little bit.
Yeah, you do. Well, that way when she
every
like
time
is
that
crazy,
close-up hits.
You know, it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart because you're like, oh, no, she could have been great. Oh, she could have been.
Yeah, so I guess, great. And you want him to give her another chance, right? And you're like, yeah. I know she just killed your brother, but maybe there's still hope.
No, man. When she kills the brother, I'm a little like,
I don't know. I don't know. Based on what you guys were saying before, I didn't know how invested you were. Okay, but also when she was just sitting in the canoe watching him drown, I was like, she looks so good, though.
Oh, yeah, she's so perfect, yeah.
With that fucking robe and those fucking glasses.
Yeah, she's like, she's not jumping in with that hair like that. Uh-uh. She's like, I'm not fucking this up for that. This isn't the waterproof lipstick, you know.
I was actually kind of surprised when she let him drown because I thought she was going to have a moment where, yes, where she watched him and was like, what if? But then she would like do the decent thing and save him. But no, she didn't. That was okay. That was great.
Man, yeah, it's heartbreaking and chilling. Well, on that note, you know what? Why don't we take a break? And, we'll be right back. We're going to play the trailer for John Stahl's Leave Her to Heaven.
What shall be done with a jealous woman?
Jacques Dunchild, if you were having the baby, you'd love it. Well, I never wanted it. Richard and I never needed anything else. And now this. How can you say such wicked things? Sometimes the truth is wicked.
The starring roles of Jean Tierney long ago revealed her as an incomparable dramatic artist. But in the part of Ellen in Leave Her to Heaven, she gives one of the truly great dramatic performances of our time. Of the devastatingly beautiful Ellen, it was said, she would cheat, lie, deceive, stop at nothing to make the man she loved her exclusive possession. With matchless dramatic power and romantic appeal, Cornell Wilde surpasses all his previous triumphs. As Richard Harlan, he fights his mad desire to marry Ellen.
Now look here, Ellen.
Darling, will you marry me?
Why, you unpredictable little...
Lovely Jean Crane discloses new emotional artistry that distinguishes her as one of our most talented actresses. As the gentle half-sister, not even she is spared the venom of Ellen's violent jealousy.
What are you running away from? Is it me? Ellen, when we were kids, you used to torment me every way you could think of. You can't do that anymore. Is it Richard? If you must know, I'm going away because I can't stand living in this house any longer. The whole place is filled with hate. Your hate. Not hate. Love, Ruth. Richard's love for me.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for John Stahl's Leave Her to Heaven.
It's so slowly paced, you know, that trailer. It just felt so like... It feels like they're building up to this big thing, but then I was like, all right, you know. it's weird. It's weird seeing trailers from a different time.
Trailer guy voice is definitely like low key. Yes, so this is what is happening right now.
You know, she's a great actor. You're going to love her.
She did get her Oscar nomination here. Her only one. And the film to get nominated for set deck and for sound as well. And it won cinematography, color cinematography. So,
oh, they had two different cinematography levels?
Yeah, yeah, black and white and color. They had that for a long time.
Wonder when they actually merged the two.
I think when black and white fell
phased
off.
Out.
Yeah. What was that? I mean, it had to be somewhere in the 60s.
Wow, that's cool. What stands out to me, because, I mean, the whole time I'm more just, like, looking at the image of these older films. This one, man, it feels like they're going out because it's, like, one of the first, like, big color films with all the costumes and stuff. Even, like, this one outfit that that Ellen's wearing, she's wearing the... What's that fabric, Kristen? It's fuzzy.
There's a lot of fuzzy fabric. Wait,
okay, they always make women's tops out of it. You know, she's got really high-waisted pants, and this, I guess it's like a cashmere like top. And I was like, oh, that looks so fucking awesome. Like, imagine her like red in that trailer, that red bathing suit when she's out in that picture. Looks like a fucking postcard. You know,
red bathing suit's so fucking
yeah,
great.
It's so good, man. It feels so of the time, but everything just feels like it feels classic.
Exactly. It feels really classic. It's like looking at a lot of the clothing. It's not that I don't know that a lot of it would work today, but it's absolutely perfect for the time and perfect for the film. And when you look at it, like there's nothing wrong with any, like you can't like pick anything out that doesn't work because it all works so perfectly, like the red bathing suit and like the white coat that she's wearing when
After the train?
He's drowning.
The
with the fur? Also fuzzy, Jared. I thought that was
what
great.
Is it?
The fur that she's wearing?
Oh, I love all the fuzzy stuff. One thing I noticed in the trailer is that they put her in these like powerful poses over him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like even when she... when she's like... asking him to marry her or when she comes in and kisses him, he's always like lower in the frame and like he's having to reach up to her and she's leaning down to him to kiss him and stuff like that. These are things that I've noticed, like just kind of like checking these frames up more. It's interesting that she's always in these power play positions, even with the blocking.
The blocking is amazing, man. I like even when they're doing up the kids' room and like Ruth is like standing up, like, you know, I guess posing as the clown, right?
Yeah.
And the husband's sitting over there, like, and like you can see the ceiling, like all the framing's just down a little bit. Like this is the first time we're like looking up at these people, you know.
Yeah.
All the rest of the time we're looking down on them. It was that's so nice. because they're actually happy because, you know, Helen's downstairs being all pregnant and shit.
She'll never make it up those stairs. We can do whatever we want.
That's exactly how they're fucking acting.
You said it won for set design. Did they build, like, everything?
No,
feels...
it was nominated for set design.
Oh, well, everything feels like a set. Even though, in that trailer, like the ending shot where she's running across that little bridge and she goes over and like leans against the log house, like, is that a real location? Because it could be the way that the film feels, but everything just feels like a theatrical set. It looks like you're watching the fucking I Love Lucy show. You know what I'm talking about? Everything just feels like a fucking set.
Well, the exterior stuff is obviously exteriors, especially in the beginning of the movie, because you can see them struggling with the day for night. And then, like, when they're on the set, like, the night looks pretty good.
Yeah.
There's still, like, blasting blue light and everything. But, I mean, it looks good. And then when they're on the location, you can see, like, the sun shadows and everything else like that. It kind of breaks that whole illusion. But
think of the inside of the train car. It's got this weird, like, roundness to it.
Yeah, of course, yeah, that's a set. Yeah,
I know, but that all that shit just feels like, it feels like, okay, we're designing this not to feel like it's realistic. It's like a set. Everything's like, the scale of things are all a little weird and big, you know.
Man, is it that, or is everything like placed so perfect? I don't know. I kept thinking about, and again, this could be because of the, you know, the Technicolor and everything else like that. Everything looks like a painting.
It does. That's what I'm saying. That's what
or
I said.
Or like the
everything
front cover of Good House,
kind of like,
or Good Housekeeping. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean?
Or like a postcard of the time.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It just has that color palette.
Like, even inside that cabin is like, it's so perfect. I think there's even like a fucking bowl of fruit on the fucking table, and it's just like, what? Nobody has that out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
All those outdoor shots, it looks like they've planted all these ferns in the ground like 2 seconds before they shot. You know, everything's just like.
But I think that actually goes really well to the film, because there is a level of fakeness here, and it's like she's trying to keep up appearances, and if you don't look too closely, yes, she does seem like the most loving wife ever.
Absolutely.
But I think that plays into the set, right? Like, yeah, there's a bowl of fruit there, because why wouldn't she have that, you know? And why wouldn't she have just planted the ferns? Like, what do you mean they're supposed to, like, sit and grow in your garden? You know, like, yeah, she's not going to do that.
She's so calculated with everything.
Exactly.
Well, it's just like it's one of the first times we see her break is when she's talking to the doctor, and she's trying to keep Danny, or whatever his name, the kid, like, you know, like.
Ooh, and she uses the word, what was it? She said, called him a cripple. That's right.
He's just a fucking little cripple. You know, he's like, whoa, bitch, hold on.
I thought that was great. I was like, oh, look, that's a bad word even in the 40s. Look at that. That actually surprised me. I was like, oh, yeah.
And then she does an instant turn, you know, because when husband's around, it's got to be perfect. But she can talk shit to everybody else.
But not to everybody else, just the doctor, because she's hoping that he'll take her side, right?
And one thing that really cemented it in its time is the use of matte paintings. And I think there's more than what we even can know, I think, in some of these situations, is because of just the way that the film looks.
Man, I kept looking at some of these and... I have a hard time. Are some of these like? I mean, obviously, there's that one where Richard's like the husband's on like the side of a cliff, and the house is in the background. Like, that looks exactly like a matte painting. But like, some of the stuff out the windows and like the close-ups, are those like trans lights? Are those like lit backgrounds?
Well, just think about, like, okay, so they're on the beach, right? And then they cut into that shot of her with the fucking, like, the red bikini on. That instantly feels different. And I was thinking, that is that because the lens compression, we've gone from like a really wide lens and then we cut into like a more medium lens, mm-hmm. and now we have this more compression and then the way that this film feels? Or was that fucking like on a goddamn soundstage?
And that was one rear shot? Screen?
Yeah. Just because,
man,
you know.
I don't know.
It has a different quality to it. And when they cut into these close-ups and these moments like that, there is a different quality to the way it feels. And I don't know if that's a lens thing or just like their fucking matte paintings and shit are blending so well in this. But we're also looking at, the version that I watch is so compressed, you know. So I can't really tell exactly what I'm looking at. But I'm just like, oh, it definitely feels off. Yet again, that makes it feel of its time. And that's also what I'm saying. Are these things sets? Is this like, you know, it's got that TV quality to it, but it's not, you know, it's just that it's of its time.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a Hitchcock movie or like Pulp Fiction, the minute they get in the car.
Oh, yeah, it just changes.
Well, with the, yeah, with the, not Brad Pitt, with fucking Bruce Willis. Yeah, that segment. Yeah, man, I don't know. Even watching the Criterion, I had a hard time. Like, as some of them are clearly matte paintings, but I don't know. I think some of them are backgrounds, and some of them do look like they're rear projection. Or, it, you're right, it could be the lens, too. I mean, I wasn't able to find anything online.
It's interesting to see a young Vincent Price. I will say that. I don't think I've seen much of him early in his career.
He co-starred with Gene Tierney a lot.
Really?
Yeah. They made...
I thought they were great together.
Yeah, they only have that one scene, though. That kind of stinks.
I love when he comes in and she's coming down the stairs and she like looks over at him and she's like has this like little like, oh shit, I'm caught, you know. You see she breaks her thing right there. She's, you know, she breaks through a little second and then she has to recompose herself as she comes down the stairs to go talk to him. That I love that moment.
Yeah, that was really nice.
And she's holding hands with dude, and she like
yeah, and she lets go,
yeah, oh, and then she grabs.
I'd have been
back.
Like, "What? Like, no. Who is this motherfucker?" You know, like
he got the letter, dude. He knows. That's why he's down there. She was right enough. Yeah. She was good enough to what? Send him a telegram.
Hey, man, you know, she could have just ghosted his ass. That's what would have happened today.
Wait, that's when you're dating somebody. That's not like when you're engaged to somebody, right? You just you get the ring and you're just like, I'm not gonna talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but back then, bro, you know, you date for longer than 2 months, you're engaged. You know, just how it is.
That is the thing with 40s movies. It's like, you know, we've been together for 24 hours. Obviously,
I think we should get married.
Fucking yeah, we should spend the rest of our life, man. Yeah, I've never spent more than 24 hours with any other female ever. Clearly, marriage.
There was one 40s movie that I watched that every time they would talk to somebody new, they would like break off the engagement with the previous person and get engaged to like the new person they had been talking to.
I've never met anyone like you. We should get married.
What was that? Do you remember the name of it?
I'd have to look it up. It's on HBO and it's like a Christmas movie.
I think it was called The Circle of Wife.
No, because the men were doing it. Like, they were all the women were doing it too. And like at one point, you feel really sorry because like he has like a fiance. One of the guys has a fiance who's like out of town or something, and she shows up on Christmas Eve, and she's like, and he's like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry. P.S. I'm engaged." And she's like, "Oh, thank God, because I'm actually engaged to somebody else, and I was coming to break it off."
Been looking for a reason.
Do they end up falling in love together?
Again? No. Oh. This one, no, they were happy together or happy apart.
That's usually like, you know, it's like a twister, you know? They go their separate ways and then they come back together and rekindle their romance or some shit. Who knows?
Well, he had already broken up another engagement. So.
Oh, this is the third. Okay. All right.
Yes.
I like that. Oh, Kristen. I had a question about costumes.
Okay.
What the hell is Gene Tierney wearing? Like when they first go back to the Bar Harbor, she
the pad?
Yeah, it's whatever. It looks like it's got like some kind of Chinese Oriental.
That's different. That's different than the one I was thinking of.
The clasp, and it looks like a life preserver. It's big and puffy.
It looks like a quilt. Like a duvet or something. It's got that like fucking hash, like a grid pattern on it, and then it has like. Are you talking about the one where it has like the weird flowers that kind of connect?
No, it's like white mostly, or like a cream color. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
What the hell is that thing?
Wait, hold on, because I feel like you described two different.
Yeah, we may be talking about things that are different.
Because she is wearing like this. It is like a sort of like a Chinese dress. Are you talking about that or
definitely the one that's got some
jacket.
The whole thing was big and poofy. I don't know if it was a jacket or if that was the shirt or that's what I'm asking. I have no idea what that thing is.
All right, hold on. I want to make sure we're talking about the same.
Yeah, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but she had a couple odd things. She had a hat at one point that was like a round circle. They went around like kind of like around the back of her head, but her head popped out the back of it. Like you could still see her hair in the center part, but it was kind of like a weird halo. Like it was just like odd fashion things.
That was in style then.
It's just odd. It's just a weird hat.
Yeah, it is. Hats are kind of weird.
Well, especially when it's like a design accessory to like frame your hair, you know, instead of like, you know, just cut the, I don't feel like, you know, doing my hair today. I'm gonna pop a hat on. Yeah, I'm not seeing this exact one, Brian. I'm trying to find the one that I was talking about.
The one I was talking about was it was in the trailer. It was like,
oh, was it?
Yeah, it was like the very first image that pops
Wait,
up.
Not the scene where she's confronted about being wicked. Not that one, right?
All
right.
Here, I'm going to do a screen share real quick.
Okay.
All right. This outfit.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has a different Chinese like dress, and that's what that's why I was like confused, because I was like, there's no jacket.
If you look at that right there up close, it's a solid color, but it feels like it's like a fucking duvet fabric, and it's got like stitching in a grid.
Yeah.
And it's got these like flower things that like connect as clasps. Think of like the Sgt. Pepper fucking goddamn like album cover.
Oh,
how they're wearing those with the things that go across the chest.
Exactly.
You know, but it's really, really weird. But like, yeah, but what Brian is saying is the way that the neck comes together is in a very like Asian way. The collar is a very Asian style collar.
Yeah. So is the clasp, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And so is the, I don't know. It just looks
weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, because it looks like the sleeves are so big and everything else. It kind of looks like a, you know, karate outfit.
She's all right,
hold
traveled,
on. It's
man.
The neckline. It's the sleeves. It's the cut of the jacket. It's the clasp. It's all. It's all.
Everyone's right. Is what she's saying.
Oh, yeah.
And she does have a second Chinese inspired outfit, which is, but she's, it's a dress, which is what I was getting confused about. Okay. So yeah, that I don't know if that was I don't know if that's exactly it has to be clearly in style in the 40s, but it does go in and out of style. Chinese influences go in and out of style in the U.S. It's not unheard of to see that in stores, for example. Like even when I was growing up, there was stuff like that in stores.
I've never seen an outfit quite like that. It's
so that
is
very
so bizarre.
What's the word? Not Americanized. That's not Americanized. That it looks like she's been traveling and picked up clothes.
Oh, is that what you think they're saying?
That,
oh,
you know, I thought
right.
that same thing. Like, yeah, like maybe it just shows that she's like well traveled. She's, you know, upper crust because she can go around and experience these things. So this is something she picked up last time she was over in the Orient.
I never thought about that. All right, nice.
And also, it's weird that it feels like these people never have lounging wear. Like they're always
are
put
in lounging
together.
Wear.
That's lounging wear?
Did you see her nightgowns, man? Oh my god, they're incredible.
I know, but everything's so immaculate. Even like when she's like, okay, I'm gonna throw my ass down the stairs and fuck this baby, right? This
baby's
dead.
Yeah, that's a nightgown.
And then
she's wearing a nightgown.
She does her fucking hair. She puts on these fucking crazy slippers.
Yeah,
like,
because she's about to go to the hospital. Do you know how many people she's gonna see? Like, you have to do your hair and makeup. Come on.
She
are you wearing clean underwear?
Makeup.
You may get into a wreck. Like, you know,
yeah, it's the same thing that, like, you know, the parents used to tell their daughters, you never know, so you always make sure you look nice.
You could break
she
your
might
arm.
Meet her next she might meet her next husband. Come on.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she's the Black Widow.
I mean, I feel like she could be. That would have been a fun way to take it. This is if this was a series.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised this isn't a series.
It could be. We should adapt it.
I feel like actually speaking of the Black Widow in this movie, do you think that oh my gosh, in the Addams Family Values, I forget her name.
Oh yeah.
Is she's based on this?
Debbie.
Possibly.
Also
a little bit.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I don't think that she would be
woman.
This character.
Woman.
I do think she would eventually kill him, but I think,
you think
at
so?
This point, yes, because if assuming he didn't
you.
Kill himself first, right? Assuming he didn't kill himself first, he would eventually give in to all of her demands as he had been doing, right? And so one of two things would happen. Well, okay, let's pretend that he would try to leave. I think she would kill him. Or, I mean, we saw what happened. But assuming he stayed, he would just slowly give her everything she wants so that she would stop acting this way. And then he would become a shell of a person. Mm-hmm. And then she'd be like, why do I even have you here? I don't want you anymore. This isn't the man I married. This isn't the man I love, even though he's done everything she wants.
Well, that's kind of what Ruth was saying.
You're like literally describing Gone Girl, though.
Yeah. And which, like I said, it's inspired by.
Yeah, no, but the reason I hesitate to compare it to Gone Girl is because Gone Girl has much, I don't know, I feel like they make her so much more sympathetic, even though she is abusive. But in this one, she's just straight up abusive. You don't get her backstory. You don't get her going, man, my life is so hard. You don't, like nowadays, when we have these evil characters, we are always are like, oh, but they're like this because their childhood was bad. We're like this because of society, you know, like you should feel bad for them. And so I feel like Gone Girl has more of that modern aspect. Okay, mm-hmm. A modern adaptation. Sure.
I don't know. See, this one, I really wasn't like 100% off her side until the boy drowns. Like once the boy drowns, it's like, okay, you should have saved him. Yeah, have crossed the line. Up until that point. You know, she is kind of right. Like, they have never been, she has that line where she's like, we've never been alone together. You know, it's like, I don't know. There is, like, she clearly says exactly what she wants, and she just doesn't get it. You know, and it's just, it's too bad that she's got to go, you know, to murder or, you know.
No, I think
something
you
else
guys
in order to get what she wants
are confusing when. You know, a woman is like, hey, we should spend some alone time together, which is like, you know, sexy times. Like, let's, you know, that's what you want with what she is doing. And so you have to look at the whole picture here, because if a normal, healthy relationship and you want some alone time, like, that's great. You should have that. And that, yes, she's not asking too much. But when you look at the whole picture here.
But he's not listening to her. You know what I mean? Like.
It is weird. Like she keeps saying, like, I want to spend time together with just us. And then the next thing you know, hey, here's your whole family. Like, they're coming to stay with us for like
weeks.
Like,
that's pretty typical, though. I mean, come on. Have you guys met yourselves? Come on.
I don't want to victim blame here, but maybe if he had listened to her a little bit, like, maybe this stuff would not have happened. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, possibly. I feel like that's a huge stretch. You're giving her way too much credit. But yeah, okay, maybe there's a tiny, tiny chance that she would have been normal in any other situation if he would just give her what she wants. No, that's crazy. You hear why that's crazy, right? Come on.
Kristen, have you seen her? She's gorgeous. She can torment Danny a little bit, you know, as long as she doesn't kill him. We can deal with it.
Yeah. You know, if he had just shut the fuck up and gone to that goddamn retreat that her sister and everyone else had just wanted. I mean, God. Just leave.
If everyone
for a week.
Would have just given her what she wanted instead of been their own person, she would have been fine. And everyone, she would have been happy.
Be
not everyone. Everyone else would have been miserable, but she would maybe be happy, right?
Did you see how pretty she is, Kristen? I mean,
yeah,
goddamn.
Yeah.
She's
very pretty.
She has got a great face. Yeah, and
she looks great.
The best thing is when she does that smile, like sometimes. Ooh, sometimes her smile when she's got the, I don't know, something in her eyes that makes her smile look fake. And when you're looking at her eyes and her smile when it's fake, some of the lines that are normally gorgeous, man, they look creepy.
Yeah.
And it's just her eyes are changing, like nothing with the mouth. It's like, ooh, that's good.
She did great in all of this, and she looks great in all of this. And yes, she also looks so creepy sometimes. I don't know. I actually find it very curious that you guys don't see that.
I mean, really, he should have been a better husband. That's what we're saying. I mean,
yeah.
Because she did her part, okay? She had the lipstick on always. And she cooked and cleaned.
Yes.
Like, yeah, what are we talking about here, guys?
What are we complaining about?
She's the victim, and she has been the whole time.
That's a big house. Did you see how put together it was? Fuck, man. That's
right?
Great.
Jared thinks it's a set. It's so well done. This can't be real.
It would have been so funny if, like, while she was, like, not able to get up and walk while she's pregnant, that the house has, like, a layer of dust and trash all over it.
Dude, that scene where like they're having the sing along, you know, where the servant is down there playing, you know, the guitar or whatever.
And,
like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And she comes and just stands in the middle of it, just fucking turns her back to everybody. It's like, gosh, what a buzzkill.
And they give her the fireplace. She starts poking it. Oh,
and she's got the most massive fire poker I've ever seen.
This is why I love the blocking. I loved it. I thought it was so great. Like, nobody had to say anything. People could just walk in just from the shot composition and character movement. Yeah. You know exactly what's going on. People don't have to say shit. Very well done. I actually want to go back and see a little bit more. Have you guys ever heard of John Stahl? I had never heard of this filmmaker.
No.
Yeah, same here. I had to go look him up. The only other film of his I'd seen was The Imitation of Life. Which later got remade in like the 50s or 60s.
I think he died young. Somebody did. Let me see.
Yeah, I think he only made like maybe 5 or 6 more movies after this. Which, you know, back in those days, I mean, he was probably pumping out a movie or two a year. What did he die, like 5 years after this?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he died young. He didn't have a super long career. So he did a lot in a short amount of time.
But I really want to see some of his other movies. I thought this was brilliantly directed. I mean, where everything is placed. And, I mean, some of that could be the cinematographer as well. Because the cinematographer, what was this guy's name? I wanted to, Leon Shamroy, right? This guy, he's won 4 Oscars, but he is tied with Charles Lang as the most nominated cinematographer of all time by the Academy.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
He didn't die young. I think he, well, kind of young, but he...
His early 60s.
That's yeah, pretty... but when you say die young, I think like 20s or 30s.
Oh, no. I mean, this is someone who's 40 saying that, Kristen.
This guy was making movies in the silent era.
Yeah, his first short film was in 1913.
That is a long-ass time ago.
Wait, he was a founding member of the Academy of Motion Pictures?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm reading it, he was.
I've never heard anybody even talk about this guy. You go through film history classes and stuff like that. Nobody mentions him. Have you guys ever heard of this director?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. The other thing I did want to point out, this movie was a hit, like we said, but not only was it a hit, this was the highest grossing movie for the entire decade of the 40s for 20th Century Fox.
Wow.
This was their biggest hit. And Daryl Zanuck paid like $100,000 for the book rights back in 1944, which I don't know what that is today, but that's got to be a lot of money.
It's a lot.
I was reading on his IMDb page, and it says that he made a lot of B movies before moving to MGM, where he directed the notable flop Parnell. Considered the studio's worst effort to date. Despite this, he continued in the business as a producer and director until his death. So, maybe that's why we haven't heard of him, because if that's his bio.
Well, this one's good.
This one's great. Well, old lady, I used to, I worked at Suncoast for about 3 years, and every Sunday, old ladies, white or black, would come in and ask for a copy of The Imitation of Life. The 30s and the 50s, 60s version. And, oh my gosh, I could never keep that disc in stock.
Yeah, it says he has a surprising consistency starting from 1932. Yeah, the people are kind of, they don't like him. That's why we forgot him, I guess.
It's a shame. Are we at ratings?
Yes.
All right, there we go. That's a response. It's better than silence. So... who's going first? Who's rating? Leave Her to Heaven.
Look, I don't have a lot to say, Brian. You know I like this movie. This movie looks great. It gave me feels. It gave me... I'm scared of women again. No. look, man. It's incredible. I love watching these old movies, man. Like, just the way that they have... just the vibe of them. And seeing the way that the lighting and all the sets work. And the beautiful close-ups. And what's really great about this movie is they didn't put all that schmutz on the lens when they got into these close-ups. They really let the fucking lenses sing the way that they are. Except for we don't know if the close-ups are done on the soundstage or not. But, man, what do you rate this? Like, it's so hard to, like... Is it a 10? I don't know. I want to give it a... I don't really know where to fucking knock it with. I don't really have anything that makes it bad at all. Like,
But you're looking for something because you want to rate it lower. Just go ahead. It's fine.
No, I don't want to rate it lower. I'm going to be like, oh, Jared always rates high. He's going to rate this one a 10 because he thought it was fucking good. I didn't watch last week's movie. I don't know what you guys rated it, but I'm sure you guys rated it low because I wasn't here. So, you know.
You're not wrong.
For being the first noir of Technicolor, it deserves a 10. It deserves a 10 because it fucking gives me the feels. It creeps me out. I think it looks great. It's a really fun movie. I've been telling everyone that I run into to check it out, especially if they've ever seen Gone Girl, because it's really neat to see a vibe of where things could have come from.
Hell yeah. So that was a 10?
Did you rate it?
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, it's a 10. And then when you guys rate it an 8, I'll be like, it's still a 10.
Wow. Kristen, you want to go next? You want to go last?
I guess I can go next.
Yeah. Let's see what she says.
Okay. So the more we talk about it, I guess I can see, yes, more of the similarities to Gone Girl. I can, and maybe, you know, there's something to not explaining someone's backstory. And maybe the victims should be sympathetic and not the villains. Okay. I don't know. I enjoyed this a lot. This is a great movie. It looks beautiful. The acting is fantastic. Actually, that would have been my only complaint is that, but there it's, I would say that the characters don't really have a lot of depth, but maybe they don't need it. I don't know. Yeah, the costumes, the makeup, the hair, it all looks outstanding. It could, yes, a lot of the frames could be postcards. It looks wonderful. I was going to give this a 10 also, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was interesting for me to see the woman in this role, because so often in modern movies, you see the man in this role, but I'm kind of thinking about it, and I guess older movies do have the woman in this role more often than not, but it's still a nice switch up to see. I actually find it very interesting that how much you guys did not notice that her character was evil, which is, you know, fascinating. And I feel like it explains a lot about men that I did not know. Okay. But yeah, 10. I liked it.
10-10, and when you look like Jean Tierney, you can get away with murder.
We're shallow creatures, Kristen.
I feel like she could be a lot uglier, and you guys still would not care.
Kristen, she said she was going to cook and clean.
I know,
and take care
I know.
Of everything.
So what's the problem?
I don't know. No, if the cousin was still if she was selling
all this,
the cousin
was way hotter, actually.
No, she wasn't. Well, you're insane.
Bullshit, Brian. She was like doing gardening, and she was helping him write his book, and she was very supportive, and she just overall like well being. Like
she was
it's
too
so
well adjusted. She was so well adjusted. She was boring.
What the
Get
fuck?
Get the fuck out of my face. No, okay, I need a little crazy in my life. Okay. I mean, what are we talking about?
You need to walk around and be like making sure there's no fucking like rips in the rug. You know what I'm saying? Like,
staple that carpet. Staple that carpet. Obviously, this is a 10. If I could rate it higher, I would. It's a
man.
Great movie. I was really, really blown away by the direction. I loved the way characters come into the scene. Just how everybody is just walking around the room. Just like power plays, like it just gives you so much to think about. Just even the drowning scene, just the way that she eggs that kid on to be like, okay, well, you don't want to give up now, do you? And the way she puts on her sunglasses, like, you know, right before she gets ready to like follow him, like she knows she's going to do something terrible. She even had that dream the night before. So it's, we know kind of that this is a premeditated. It's not a murder. It's a, what is she? She's not helping.
It's a crime of passion.
You know, she's like a, I don't know.
It's not a crime of passion.
I know. He doesn't want to say that she's evil, Kristen.
No, she is evil. And like,
She's just setting a trap that he falls into. But I think we can say that.
It's just this, the ambiguity of everything and knowing but not knowing and the tension that you feel in the scenes with characters the things that they don't say is so great. It's just so amazing. It builds and it builds. Yeah, the beginning is a tough watch. When you're in New Mexico, it does feel like, this is like a very melodramatic love romance story. What are we doing here? I don't really want to watch this. But the minute they leave that and go to the back of the moon, you're just in the best of hands. And it builds and builds. This is 10 highest of masterpieces. Oh, and the fucking music is great, too. Oh, yeah. The music's so good.
Leave Her to Heaven suffers from a surfeit of unlikable characters, but the solid cast, led by an outstanding Gene Tierney, makes it hard to turn away. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Leave Her to Heaven with an 85% tomato meter and an 86% popcorn meter. Did you think that these characters were unlikable? I think they set them all up pretty well. I didn't have a hate for anybody, really.
No, I think that's kind of... I think calling them unlikable is a bit of a stretch, but I think that's kind of what I mean. I wasn't really rooting for anybody, not even the villain, like, you know? And that's what Gone Girl does, is it sets up the villain for you to... You root for her to, commit murder, to destroy lives. And in this one, you're just kind of, like, watching it.
Well, it depends on what side you're on there, Kristen.
Kind of does good, it? Are you? Are you like watching one. the? Oh, you're rooting for Ben Affleck in that movie. Come on!
I'm rooting for him to do something in that movie. Is what I'm doing. And when he doesn't, I'm so frustrated. I'm like, you fucking dumbass! You deserve all of this.
You deserve everything. Exactly, you did this to yourself, exactly. You piece of shit. Like.
And this movie, it's much more gray. And there's no one to really to be like, you're right and you're wrong. And I think as modern audiences, we expect that. And so this movie doesn't really give that.
Yeah. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @moviecrewpod. Jared, where can the audience follow or get in touch with you?
You can follow or get in touch with me at Instagram @checkthegate.
Sorry, I just wanted to put something kind of creepily sexual based off of our content for tonight.
Hell yeah. You want to follow me, baby? You can find me.
If you're crazy, Jared wants to get in touch. It's hot and crazy.
Hey, look, if you're going to cook, if you're going to clean, you know, and
if
take
there's
care
pampering
of me.
Involved, you can be a click or two down, you know. We look past certain things.
I will accept an allowance. It's okay. You can even tell me what I can and cannot buy. I'm okay with that.
Hold on.
Look, as long as my allowance is good enough, they don't know. I need to know about everything, Jared. We live in the Amazon age. We're okay. Kristen, where can our audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @KristenMagdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
You guys can find me on Twitter @ElkinsEdits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with... I don't have the soundtrack. So we're going to play the main titles from the film's open. And this is from composer Alfred Newman. Enjoy. Good fucking score.